Good morning. I'm Julia Cohn. I'm the National Director of Research for Planned Parenthood Federation of America, so the national headquarters of Planned Parenthood. And I'm delighted to be here this morning. Thank you so much for coming to like the last day and the earliest session. I wish I had a prize for you, but I don't. I want to just acknowledge my amazing co-author and friend, Dr. Deborah Nucatola. So our project is called EC4U, and I'll be talking about the results of a pilot project. I'm clicking here. So someone said they never hear people actually having disclosures. I have some for you this morning. It's exciting. So I am disclosing that while this work was not funded at all by any pharmaceutical partners, PPFA has collaborated on studies with HRA Pharma, the manufacturers of emergency contraception products in the U.S., and also participated in an investigator-initiated study with Teva Women's Health, who manufactures the copper IUD. This work was funded by the Hewlett Foundation. And I have another disclosure for you, which is that technically the copper IUD is not technically labeled or indicated for emergency contraception, so I will be talking about what is technically off-label use of the IUD. So as background, the copper IUD, or IUC, intrauterine contraceptive, is actually the most effective method of emergency contraception that we have available to us today. And if inserted within 5 days of unprotected intercourse, it is 99.9% effective. And of course, if desired, can provide ongoing contraception for up to 12 years. So maybe I'll just ask quickly, and not for my co-presenters, how many folks in the audience knew that the copper IUD can be used for EC? Okay. So plenty of you not. Oh, that's great. Okay. And there have been some previous studies, previous surveys of patients assessing their potential interest in the copper IUD for EC that suggests that some women may indeed be interested in that option if it were available to them. But we find that this evidence-based practice is underutilized, and that potentially this is related to providers' knowledge, obviously patients' knowledge of whether this is an option, potentially some provider attitudes, or systems barriers to be able to get this as a method of emergency contraception. So what did we do? I should say this was not actually designed as a research study, but rather as an intervention in a pilot project. So I'll tell you a little bit about what the project was. We launched this EC4U campaign in 2013, and the project had really two main components. So one was that we created a toolkit for all of our Planned Parenthood affiliates and shared that with all health centers across the country, of which there are 700. And the toolkit contained some online learning modules, and they got those on a DVD that they could watch and share and use at staff trainings that really presented this information to some folks for the first time. This is not a common practice, or at least wasn't at the time, and so we really wanted all providers to be educated on all methods of emergency contraception. And then the second piece, which I'll be talking about today, was that we made small grants to 9 health centers who threw their hat in the ring to be a part of this project, to enable them to design and implement their own pilot projects to integrate the copper IUD into EC care. So as it says here, the sites could really develop whatever they wanted to do, however they wanted to sort of interpret this or use their resources given their settings. But the common intervention across all sites was that everyone received this toolkit and everyone received training and staff training on all methods of emergency contraception. And also really encouraging all sites to make IUD insertion for EC available same day whenever possible, which as you can imagine, some providers already balked and felt that that was going to be very challenging. So that's why we really wanted to test this out. And then some sites took it upon themselves to develop different education material. Some developed kind of scripts to help providers talk about that. From everyone to the front desk, to the clinicians, to the health educators, everyone interacting with patients. So our primary objective here that I'll be talking about was to evaluate the impact of this pilot project. And a secondary aim was to assess potential changes in provider knowledge, their attitudes, their practices, and potential barriers to implementation. So what did we do? All 9 sites tracked and reported monthly numbers of the number of clients receiving leave and adjust roll pills, so what you know as Plan B or Next Choice, Uloprostol acetate pills, what you know as Ella, and the copper IUC, which in this country is Paragard. And they reported that to us monthly. As you know, that can be very challenging for sites to even track numbers and report those numbers. And they did so manually and handed them into us monthly. And we also asked them to provide retrospective data, if at all possible, on the past 6 months before the pilot, and asked them to look into how many of their patients had received the copper IUD for EC in the 6 months prior. We also asked them to track any potential returns for removals because we were interested to see whether patients receiving this method might potentially come back quickly for removal. And we also surveyed staff, all health center staff interacting with the project online before and after the project to assess any changes in knowledge, attitudes, and also really understanding their perceived barriers to integrating this practice into work. So here's sort of the main slide in terms of what we saw for IUC insertions. So this is for all 9 pilot sites. And what we saw was for the prior 6 months, they had reported that a total of 20 clients among all 9 sites had received a copper IUD for EC. And then you see the little EC for You logo, which represents when the project took place. And any naked eye analysis can see that there was a pretty dramatic increase. So 101 patients chose the copper IUD for EC during this period across all sites, of course, compared to only 20 that had received this method before. I wanted to share just a little bit, not to focus only on the IUC, but to understand kind of what the method mix was in general and how that may have changed over the course. So what you're looking at here along the axis in the bottom is by each month of the project. Again, it was a 6-month pilot. And what you see is the percent of clients who got leave under gestural pills, so Plan B, Next Choice, and that's in purple. The percent that got UPA pills, so Ella, and that's in green, and then the percent that chose the copper IUC, which is in sort of a gray color at the top and is obviously the tiniest. And this really shows, for the most part, that across most sites, most people are still choosing or receiving levonorgestrel EC, which for those of you who are aware of the literature, there is some potential that method is actually less effective for EC than is Ella, or certainly than the copper IUC, especially for women of higher weight or BMI. Although the verdict is still somewhat out on that. And so you can see that our sites are really using Ella in different amounts. Some sites are doing more than others. Some sites are really just giving out Plan B. And the percent of copper IUD, the percent of patients choosing the copper IUD stayed relatively the same over this period. So we didn't see a dramatic increase over time. I should also say that there was a shortage of UPA EC during this time, so that very well may have affected some of the results that we see here. And then this is just a different view, is looking at the method mix by site. So they are de-identified down the left, sites 1 through 9. And the columns across are the percent choosing levonorgestrel, the percent choosing Ella, and the percent choosing the IUC for EC. And I think what I really want you to take away from this slide is just some incredible variability in terms of what's going on across each of these sites. So you'll see, for example, some sites, site number 3 here, secret site number 3, had only 1% of clients who chose the copper IUC for EC. Whereas at the bottom, site number 9 had 16% of clients who chose that option. And then you see a range of numbers in between. And I think this really speaks to potential for differences across patient populations, but also potential differences in how the interventions were implemented at each site and to what extent they were consistently offering this as an option to all patients who came in for EC. And you can also see, I think it's interesting for folks that are working in EC, just a dramatic kind of all over the place in terms of what people were providing in terms of UPA versus LNG. And we have some sites that actually at this point, site number 9, is almost exclusively using ELA for patients that are eligible, whereas other sites are almost exclusively still giving out Plan B. And that's not a judgment, it's just sort of an assessment of the variability across sites, both for the results of the intervention and for just kind of general EC practice. And I wanted to just pull out, I'm not presenting the full staff results here, but I thought you might be interested in seeing just a little bit of examples of pre-post results. So before implementing the project, 54% thought that clients would be receptive to learning about IUDs for EC. And after implementing the project, so after having some actual experience, 83% that said that clients were receptive to learning about EC. In the beginning, we also wanted to assess whether there were concerns, and about 20% said before the project that they had some concerns about providing the IUC for EC, which we wanted to respect and address. And at the end, you'll see only 2% after having actually had this experience in implementing this expressed any concerns with providing EC. And then I thought it was helpful also, we asked a question about sustainability and whether they thought they'd be able to continue this work after these small grants end. And at the beginning, 75 said yes, they would. And after 84% said yes, they would. So not all, but it definitely increased. People thought this is sustainable. More people thought this is sustainable and something I can continue in our work. And I don't want you to have to read all of these, but we did ask what are the top three barriers to increasing the use of IUC for EC? And I'll focus you just on the top four rows. I should have put a little box around it because there are some clear standouts here. And the most commonly reported barrier, I'm doing in quotes, was patients are not interested in the IUC for EC. I don't see that as a barrier at all. In fact, fantastic. We don't want anybody to get it if they don't want it. And that's, for me, the one reason that it, you know, the one barrier that should exist. If patients don't want it, we don't want them to have it. And so that was most commonly reported as the reason why they hadn't increased over time. But the second, the others are somewhat more operational. So the second is patients are interested in it, but they don't want to sit and wait for a procedure. They came in to get their pack of pills, their little brown bag, and pay their, you know, money, and they weren't prepared to actually sit and wait there all day. They may have had their kids to pick up from school or other obligations. And so the onus is on us to some extent to figure out how we can fast track patients to be able to get what they want. I thought the next one is interesting, and we were having some conversation before, that many people actually don't want Paragard. They want to choose the Mirena or Skylab. So they want to choose the hormonal IUD rather than Paragard. And some of you may understand there's definitely different bleeding profiles and different side effects. And I will say, not by me, but there is some research ongoing right now to see whether Mirena could actually be used as EC as well. And then I think most importantly, 45% said it is difficult to fit in same-day procedures. And we don't blame them for saying that. Instead, it's something that we really want to work on in terms of our operations and in terms of collaboration between ops and clinical and front desk and all of that. And then you can see 30% said patients can't afford it. They have other priorities. Providers are uncomfortable, or we don't have supplies, or staff are uncomfortable. We're absolutely the least commonly reported. So just in summary, a total of 101 IUDs were inserted during the pilot compared to 20% during the preceding months. 77, so a large amount, were same-day insertions. And I didn't mention removals, but we measured this at 5 months post-pilot and found that 20% had returned for a removal from kind of 5 months to a range of 11 months, right? It wasn't 5 months for everyone. And that's very consistent with removal rates for IUDs in general across all studies. So it didn't seem that people were returning more for removals than other studies. And then the percentage was highly varied from one site for another, which we think is worth investigating. And again, there's no right percentage, but it's worth investigating. And we saw staff demonstrate improved attitudes and fewer concerns after actually having lived through this practice. So we think that some, but by no means all clients will choose the IUD if offered, and therefore everyone should be offered this option. Same-day insertion is doable in most cases. Removal rates were similar to other studies, but we still do think that the results suggest potential barriers and further investigation needed to really understand what was going on in terms of differences across sites. Thank you. And that training and systems improvements may still be needed to ensure that patients can receive the IUD for EC within the 5-day window of efficacy. And I want to just also, I didn't say, but that it's really important for us to say that removals should not be seen as failures, either for EC or for ongoing copper IUD. They should be seen as opportunities to more closely match women with the method that will work best for them. So thank you very much, and happy to take questions at the end.